When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars, and we have some very special guests on this episode. Episode number 200 of Columbia Calling. Can you imagine that 3 years ago? Who would have known that we were going to be going for 200 episodes? But we've got people on the line from New York State today and in Cartagena. So it's a conversation between Maureen Couture and Kim Rodifer and myself, spread across the world, let's say, and we're going to be talking about this foundation that they have, or that Maureen has in Cartagena, that's called Cartagena Pause. So Kim and Maureen, welcome on Columbia Calling, this episode 200.
Thank you.
You're most welcome, and I'm glad we were able to get this all organized and have you on the show. What you're doing is phenomenal work, I have to say. I mean, you know, we go to Cartagena, which is the, let's say, the eternal jewel in Colombia's crown for tourism, and perhaps we'll see a stray dog or a stray cat or an injured animal by the roadside or something like that. But you guys have actually got involved to try and help and, let's say, help these animals out and let's say, put a stop to this terrible situation. So, Maureen, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about how you ended up in Cartagena.
Sure. I actually had graduated from the University of Buffalo with my master's in bilingual education, and I was sick of the snow and the cold weather, and I wanted to teach internationally. And as you know, Cartagena is one of the hottest places on the planet. So I said, I'll go to Cartagena. I signed a 2-year teaching contract and ended up here. And of course, within a few days, I started noticing how many streets were and so many animals in need. And I didn't realize there was such a great need. So I sort of went from buying food constantly and giving it to the animals on the street to actually, at one point, the dog who I have now, Ramona, I rescued her back in 2014. She had been run over by a bus. And after I had rescued her, I wasn't able to stop. The next animal I saw hurt, I knew I was able to help it, and I wanted to help. And things just sort of grew from there.
It's an amazing story. And when was it you arrived in Cartagena? So you adopted this first dog, Ramona, in 2014. But how long, how long have you been there now?
This is my 7th year.
Wow.
So Ramona was after 3 years of being here, I believe, 3 or 4 years. Before Ramona, I actually was rescuing endangered birds, parrots who were being illegally sold throughout Colombia. So in the markets, I would demand that people turn them over, and I sort of recuperated them back, and I have about there's a national aviary here in Cartagena.
Yeah.
And it's where they have tons of different species who've been recuperated in their own natural habitats. So I've released them all there. And then it went to dogs and cats.
So what's next? Donkeys and cattle, I guess.
The horses too here. There's everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because, I mean, we're in Latin America, and I think even more so on the coast, there's just not this awareness, let's say, of animal rights and animal welfare. I'm sure that some people want to get involved, but you've really put your money where your mouth is. And how do you balance this between being a first grade teacher and managing the foundation, Cartagena Paws?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I'm really good at multitasking.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think as an educator, though, I'm in the best place because, especially with my first graders, I think at least tying into so many of my classroom lessons, just empathy for animals and just basic intro to how to take care of animals fit right into so many lessons and reading and writing, and they love it. But mm-hmm. it's things that I don't think within the culture here that, at least on the coast, that people know.
Yeah.
So it's really important. And the kids I can see over the years as I watch them grow, because I've been at the school for 7 years, I see it impacting them. So that part has been really successful. And then basically the second I'm done with school at 3 o'clock, it's animal time. It's getting animals to the clinics or helping out with fosters. We don't have a set location. So we just sort of really rely on fosters. And I do work close with Dr. Ingrid, who has an actual foundation here in Cartagena with over 400 animals.
Wow.
So she's who I help a lot, and she helps me a lot. Yeah. She's the vet, too. And we try and get animals out there, adopted out in the States, which we've been very successful with. Most of the animals we've either rescued ourselves and Dr. Ingrid has helped recuperate, or we've actually pulled them from the foundation and gotten them adopted. So it's a full-time job. It's two full-time jobs.
I believe it. I mean, that's really, talk about multitasking. I imagine you fall asleep at the end of a day just absolutely exhausted. And it's emotionally draining, of course, not only children, but then animals, and animals in such a sad situation. So that's something you said, though, I found very interesting. You don't have your own location. You rely on families and other people?
Yeah, we're not established as anything, because it's just myself and a few friends here who help me do it. And then we rely a lot on Dr. Ingrid and her foundation for helping recuperate the animals. When it's extreme cases, we have to rely on clinics with it. And then our biggest hope is getting them into foster after, because we don't have the funds to be paying for clinic bills and whatnot.
Either here in Colombia or overseas in the U.S. How many animals, how many cats and dogs have you been able to place with families in the U.S.?
Okay, so I think we're just over 60 now.
Wow.
60 animals we've flown home. We've gotten a few also to Canada. Most have gone to the States. We have almost 40 in my hometown in Buffalo. So that's awesome. And then we've had some local adoptions here within Colombia. I'd say about 40, but we do shoot for getting the animals stateside and Canada.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's just a different level of care. Now, getting these animals out of Colombia seems to me, and I don't know a lot about taking animals in and out of countries. I mean, I have my dog, but I've never taken him anywhere apart from Colombia. It seems to me very complex. There must be a lot of paperwork to get a dog from, you know, Cartagena to Buffalo, like you mentioned. This is where
right.
This is where Kim comes in.
Right. Yeah. Kim has helped us get lots of our animals stateside. She has her own rescue in Buffalo called Little Ones Rescue, mm-hmm. and she has helped receive them and get them adopted out or help with the adoption process stateside if they already have an adopter and getting them to the adopter. So basically, every animal leaving Colombia needs an international health certificate. They need to be in great health, optimum health. They have to get a certificate from a vet, like an inspection ahead of time, fully vaccinated, the rabies vaccines. Mm-hmm. It's a list of things, but, you know, as I said, after you've done it for 60 animals, you know what you're doing. So
yeah.
We've mastered figuring out that part of it, the paperwork. At first, yes, it was very confusing. And then the day before a flight, the person traveling with an animal and one of our representatives
Mm-hmm. And Kim, tell us a little bit about what you have to do at your end.
What I do at my end is once there is a potential adopter or foster stateside, I verify all their information, home checks, vet checks. If an animal is still receiving medical care when they come in, because some do, I assist with that. I make sure they see the vets. And I mean, honestly, it's become one big happy family with all the adopters here. They're wonderful about staying in touch. If there's ever an emergency, we're right there to stand behind them. If they ever need pet sitters, whatever.
Yeah.
We're always right there to assist.
Yeah. We just had a big reunion in Buffalo when I was home this past summer. I think there were about 20 families who showed up with the dogs they've adopted. We went to a dog park. So him and I sort of hosted that, and it was just so cool to see everybody. And most of them have become friends through Facebook. They, I've adopted from them too. So
It is. It's like one big happy family that's been created, and it just continues to grow as we bring, you know, more animals in. I mean, it, even once they get stateside, there is a lot of work because you know, we have to get them from wherever they're flying in, because a lot of times they don't fly right into the city where the dog is being adopted or fostered. So we have to get the transportation from that airport to where the dog is going. So that's, you know, where I come in and I assist. A lot of times I do the trip to go. I do the drive, whether it be I've gone to New York City several times. I've gone to Washington, D.C. I've actually transported the dog to Texas.
Wow.
To an adopter. I mean, it's just whatever is needed. It's, you just do it.
Yeah, I understand. Now, Maureen, you escaped Buffalo for those cold winters to the heat of Cartagena. How did the dogs adapt to these winter conditions up there?
It is a slow process.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've had some that first sight of snow, they actually love it and just want to run and play in it. We've had some that have been a little intimidated, and it's taken a little while. But we make sure they're very well equipped with, you know, sweaters and jackets and, you know, little booties for their paws. And, I mean, we make sure that they're well set until they're fully adjusted.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And when you were up there at this reunion in Buffalo this summer, did the dogs recognize you, Maureen?
Yeah.
They did. They always do.
Wow.
They always do.
That's heartwarming, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes me cry.
But that's wonderful. That's wonderful that, you know, there are people out there like you guys doing this for these animals, because the state of, let's say, street dogs, street cats in Colombia, and I only know from a few places, but certainly in a small town like where I have my little business in Mompox, it's pretty miserable. It's pretty appalling, you know?
It is. My first trip to Cartagena, the first 2 days I was kind of speechless. I couldn't really talk. I was just in complete shock. I had never seen anything like it. And it's very sad. A lot of people there do not have a concept of domesticated animals.
Right.
And it's a cultural thing. And until they're educated, there's not going to be change. And I continue to reinforce with Maureen that she's in the perfect position as a teacher to first graders. I mean, what better position could you be in? You know, you start with them as they're young, and she's done such a wonderful job. You know, I've been there a few times now, and, you know, the change in things that I've seen occurring, it's, you know, it's very uplifting, because, you know, if we continue, we possibly can change the cultural aspect of domesticated animals. Is it going to take time?
Absolutely. But you know what? We have all the time in the world.
Very good. Now, these are wonderful good news stories. It's very positive and upbeat that this is taking place. I'm sure Kim, you're recognized in Buffalo for your work with the little ones, but Maureen, have you been recognized in Cartagena or in Colombia for what you do?
I think within the community, most people know me. I have been in a newspaper, I feel like, right when I started out. It did have some downsides because within Cartagena, you know, there's so many animals. So most of the people, once they saw that my WhatsApp was going crazy, there's a kitten in the street, there's a dog in the street, come get it. So it turned into more reporting, and it was just, there's over 400,000 stray animals in just Cartagena, not counting the islands.
Yeah.
So it's so sad. Like, you can't always help them all. And sometimes you have to take the worst cases that need that assistance in that moment. And it's hard to making those decisions, but I have been recognized stateside more, I would say. What has been the greatest, recognition was actually, a woman, Andrea, Satch from the Washington Post. She actually reached out and said that she wanted to do an article about flight volunteers, and she wanted to be a flight volunteer. Mm-hmm. So she actually did the whole process because she's like, people want to know, what is it involved? Yeah. Like, is it easy? Is it hard? So I walked her through it, and she ended up flying one of our little dogs, Max, home with her right under the seat. And then she wrote the article. And since that article, I went out last year, I do get emails of people offering to be flight volunteers now, but I think so many people didn't know that it's an easy process and they can help so much just by helping get them stateside on their flight home.
Yeah. And so, like you said, like what Kim was saying, you'll pick them up, or she'll pick them up and, or organize them further, the onward transport from somewhere else. I mean, so that's because we seem to think, because you guys are in Buffalo, I guess the closest major direct flight would be up to Newark or so on. So, I mean, it could be anywhere. I mean, you would organize what is needed. I mean, if they were coming into Atlanta, you'd help out.
That's exactly right. Wow. And Fort Lauderdale, we have tons of people from Cartagena or from Medellin going to Fort Lauderdale. Mm. And there's so many quick, cheap flights for us to be able to, even Kim's flown down. She's going next week to Orlando to pick up a cat and a dog. Wow. Who are getting flown into Orlando.
Amazing.
So we just fundraise the money to get Kim to Orlando, and she's flying them home.
So you touch on them. Yeah. You touch on an important point. You're raising the money. I mean, both of your foundations run completely on donations.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So that's a shout out to my listeners out there. Feel free, to reach into your pockets and part with some of your hard earned cash. And how can people make donations to either one of your foundations?
Well, Kim's Rescue is mainly, she has a PayPal.
Uh-huh.
And then Cartagena Paws, we have various different fundraisers going at the moment. Some are GoFundMes, some are PayPals. It's more case specific. Kim also, when it's something transportation, a lot of the time will fundraise the money if she's doing the transportation for the specific case. Like, Max needs to get from New York City to Buffalo, and we map out the price for the gasoline, the tolls, and then people end up donating so that we can finish getting them home.
And if people are interested in donating, they can always follow us on Facebook under Cartagena Paws or Little Ones Independent Rescue. They're always up there when we're raising funds. There's always the link for the fundraiser. We've had, decent luck. Sometimes it takes a little longer than other times, depending on the situation. But this, so far we've had decent luck, and people can donate $5, $10, a dollar. You know, every dollar helps, and every dollar goes to the animal or getting the animal to where the animal needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But for example, how much would it cost for you to go down, like this trip this week you're doing down to Orlando or Fort Lauderdale? I mean, how much? This is an expensive trip.
It's a $300 trip.
Yeah.
That's not including whatever the fees are to fly the animal from Cartagena to Orlando.
Yeah. And how much is that roughly?
Here, though. Yeah. That's where we're with the flight volunteers. They're helping us so much because, I mean, we used to, when we started off, even just cargo, we were going out of Bogota. Mm. And it was well over $1,500 for each animal to be sent stateside.
Yeah.
So now that we have discovered that people can be flying animals through bodega or with them in cabin on their flights home.
Yeah.
It's opened the door first, and it's helped us get so many more out.
Yeah. It's interesting what you're saying. I mean, this is, but I, you know, if I were to take an animal up to the U.S. with me in bodega, it would be great for me to have spent time with the animal beforehand to let's say, establish a relationship, you know, because this animal's going to be pretty scared, I imagine.
Yeah, actually, I don't know.
We haven't found that to be yet. Mm. We do introduce the animals to the flight volunteers, you know, a couple days before, and they do get to spend a little time with but we have not found there to be any issues. The animals, I'll tell you, are so appreciative that they have been rescued.
Yeah. And then, so talking about it, you're funded by volunteers. You need volunteers on the ground in Cartagena too, Maureen?
I need volunteers all over Colombia. If people want to foster in Bogota, Medellin, I would be thrilled. My mother-in-law is a huge help in Medellin.
Mm.
We get animals where they need to go as long as we know they're going to be a good foster, because we like to have the animals in foster for at least a month before they're going stateside. It's so important they get used to being in a house, that they get over those fears. I think that's what really helps maybe with the flying part, because they've become trusting again and they feel safe. So fostering on the ground in Colombia is huge. Cartagena, of course, I would love to have fosters here. It's very hard to find fosters.
Well, I mean, yeah, and in Cartagena, just the question of space. I always feel that the city's so cramped. I mean, we're talking about the importance of the foster homes across Colombia, and Maureen mentioning that her mother-in-law in Medellin, I believe, helping out as well. So it's nice to know people on the ground, Colombia, helping too.
Yes, and they don't realize how big a help it can be. I have new teachers in this year, and some of them have offered to be fosters. Mm. And so I provide them with the food most of the time, unless they offer. Just lets them say, you know, I want to help either way. I'll buy the food, or we provide the food. And it's just time for them to also have a friend in the house with them. So they're just having another animal in their house is helping us so much.
Mm, definitely. Let's jump the subject a little bit. I mean, because you're so involved in this animal welfare in Cartagena. What's the situation taking place now, Maureen, with the deal with the horses and carriages in the colonial center?
It's a fight every day. I do not see a change. There were laws that were imposed, or actually put into place, about the time of the day that they were supposed to be after 4. However, there's some deal that's been worked out when cruise ships come in that they can come out at 12 and 2 in the afternoon as long as it's for a cruise ship. So I have not seen much change. There's laws in place that there should only be 4 on the carriage at a time. There's 6 or 7. Just a month ago, there was an article posted with another horse who collapsed right in the streets. So it's heartbreaking. I don't support it. And lots of people don't know when they come to Cartagena that they're supporting something that is really bad for the animals and bad for the horses, because it's painted very differently when you see the horse and carriage and the pictures. So
yeah, it's
I encourage people, you know, to think of the animal, and if they
Yeah. Well, it's that romantic image, isn't it? It's that romantic image of the horse-drawn cart going through the colonial city that's sort of on all of the publicity posters for Cartagena. But, I mean, we do receive the most awful updates in the press about what's going on and the animals collapsing and so on and so forth. They're not meant to be out in that heat, and they're not meant to be, you know, under such conditions. So something needs to change.
I agree. That does need to change. And, you know, I think, you know, being an American, you know, I was never really aware, not that I've ever really rode on a horse and carriage, because I never have, because to me that's still cruelty.
Yeah.
But I think unless you are really involved in looking into these things, people are not aware of the abuse these animals are actually enduring.
Yeah.
I mean, 100-degree weather, and this horse is pulling, you know, 7-8 people on a carriage, no water, no food.
And then where they're taken to after, like, they don't have stables. It's lots. It's just horrible living conditions, and it's not fair to the animals. And I do think those things need to change. It's also a big part of the tourism here. So I think that's a big fight between the animalistas within the country and then with the tourist side of things. So it's a battle. And I also think it doesn't just go with the horses. It goes with everything, as I was saying, like the idea of exotic birds, parrots in these cages, and our dogs and our cats, who people are actually doing some horrible acts towards the animals, and nothing's being done about it. So it's frustrating. Like I said, I feel like it's a fight every day to defend them. But I do think with every one animal that we do get out, we are helping in one way.
Well, I mean, incredible. Right. You've had more than 60 animals, as you say. Are there any adoptions coming up? Kim's going down to Orlando. After that, have you got anything else in the pipeline?
First to JFK to pick up a couple kitties that are coming in that are being adopted out.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
It's a busy next 2 weeks. We got four going.
Well, of course, it's the summer months and people are traveling. I guess it's a high season for you guys.
Oh, yeah. If we see more people are traveling, I hope they reach out to us, because we're always waiting for flight volunteers. Always.
Phenomenal. Listen, it's been really interesting talking to you both Kim and Maureen, and you know, learning a little bit about this, I would say, just underrepresented, lesser known projects that's out there. I mean, I really had no idea that this was taking place until it was brought to my attention. And my hat is off to you both for this selfless work that you're doing, that you have to spend all morning with first graders and then start working with animals after 3 p.m. It's just amazing. And so, listen, let me just do another shout out for you guys. Check out the websites for you know, the Cartagena Paws, and of course the little ones up there in Buffalo. Throw some money at them or volunteer, you know, that's it. I mean, share your time, because we know that time is worth everything for these poor animals that have been brought into this world in such a, you know, they find themselves in such a sick situation, I think. And so thank you for this. Thank you for doing what you're doing. And I hope that some perhaps of my listeners out there on Columbia Calling will reach into their pockets and you know, give a generous donation.
Well, we appreciate very much you taking the time, you know, to help us get this out there.
Yes,
thank you very, very much.
You're most welcome. Well, as I sit here with my Weimaraner looking at me, you know, pleading for a walk, so we'll sign off now. And this episode number 200 of Columbia Calling, a nice landmark episode for my little niche podcast about Columbia. Thank you to Maureen and to Kim for being available to talk about these foundations that they run, selfless work, important work. And thank you to all of you out there listening to Columbia Calling and continuing to tune in, week out, to hear about what we've got to say, anything Columbia related here on this podcast. So for now, I'll be signing off. This is episode 200 of Columbia Calling. Thank you again for listening. We'll be back next week with more interesting interviewees talking about anything Columbia related. Bye-bye.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.